Well, it's been so long since I've been in this building, I forgot how good the singing is in here with the wooden floors and the nice tall singing. It's so beautiful. My name is Hayden Ayers. I come from the Northwest 21st Street Congregation in Oklahoma City. It's a great honor and a privilege to have been asked to speak before you this evening. The topic I've been given for tonight is what the church needs to hear about spiritual growth. I'll have to admit, it's a topic that at first was a little bit intimidating for me. After all, there's so much growth I still need to go through. I still have so much to grow, but the more I looked into this topic and the more I studied, the more I realized that that's kind of true for all of us, and at least it should be. There's so much. That's kind of the beautiful part about Christianity. There's always room to grow and become stronger in our faith and spirituality. I've got 3 points I want to share with you this evening. First of all, baptism is the starting point for spiritual growth. Remember the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts 8:26? Have you ever thought about what all he knew leading up to his baptism? Let's go ahead and read that, Acts 8:26. There it says, "Now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, 'Arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down to Jerusalem, to Gaza. This is desert.' So he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under the Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury and had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning. And sitting in his chariot, he was reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said to Philip, 'Go near and overtake this chariot.' So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, 'Do you understand what you're reading?' And he said, 'How can I unless someone guides me?' And we know the rest of the story. He taught to him Jesus from the prophet Isaiah. And, you know, what's interesting, I think, is something we kind of overlook is that he wasn't reading the Bible that we have today because he didn't have it. It wasn't revealed to him yet. He was reading from the Old Testament and the Old Testament prophecies of Jesus. And he didn't understand who he was reading about. He was confused. And that's all he really needed to know. He was taught Jesus, the man. I mean, all he knew was that Jesus was the man the prophets were writing about and that he died and rose again for him. That's all the information he needed to know to start a spiritual journey. Baptism is the starting point for spiritual growth. When we're baptized, we're born again, John 3, verse 1 through 15. We die to our old selves, Romans 6 and 6. Old things are passed away, all things are new, 2 Corinthians 5:17. If you aren't baptized, I want you to think about this. I think a lot of people fool themselves out of getting baptized because they don't know enough. Listen, if you aren't baptized and you know who Jesus is and what he's done for you, what's stopping you? In a moment, your sins could be washed away. You're granted the ability to pray. You're granted salvation. But it doesn't stop there. Second, we are commanded to grow spiritually. You think about that? Well, it's actually a command that we're given. As for those of us who have been baptized, we have to understand that baptism is both an end and a beginning. Romans chapter 6 tells us that two things happen when we're baptized. First, the old man of sin is buried in death, and then we rise again to walk a new life. We're commanded to grow spiritually. Peter ends his second epistle saying in 2 Peter 3:18, "Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." If you're doing it right from the point you're baptized till the moment you leave this earth, you should be growing and maturing spiritually. Hebrews 5:12-13 says, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you've come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age. That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." So you see, just like the natural growth in all of God's creation, spiritual growth has a birth point, a point of infancy, and then continues until the final breath. Isn't that beautiful? God has reflected spiritual growth in all of his living creation. It's up to us to follow this pattern. The Christian's growth is never ending. Don't be discouraged when you're corrected. Instead, be grateful. Don't let trials drag you down. Instead, learn from them. The mature Christian looks for every opportunity to grow spiritually. Milk is no longer enough for him. He actively seeks out the meat in the Word so that he might grow and become stronger. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 13:5. This is one of my favorite passages right now. It's kind of something that I'm really trying to apply to my own life. In 2 Corinthians 13:5, he says, "Examine yourselves as to whether you're in the faith." He says, "Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless indeed you are disqualified." Did you know that you can be 100% certain whether you are in the faith, whether you're saved or not? If I asked you about your salvation, what would your answer be? Would you say, "Well, I hope I'm saved"? The mature Christian says, "I know I'm saved." While the mature Christian has full confidence in his salvation, he entertains the possibility that he could be wrong. He could have missed something. He could have misunderstood something. As mature Christians, we should be constantly examining ourselves and testing ourselves against the Word. That brings us to our final point, that being that we measure ourselves, we measure our spiritual growth by the Word only. And I really want to stress that. We really don't measure ourselves by any other standard. As Christians, we have something the world doesn't have. We have something awesome. We have the only perfect and holy revelation from an almighty and all-powerful God. So why on earth would you want to compare yourself to some imperfect human being? You know, a couple years ago, I was having a picnic with a few of my friends at my favorite picnic spot. It's at a park called Hafer Park in Edmond, Oklahoma. I was having this picnic, and we're all sat around. I've got my guitar. I guess I'm in Texas, so I have to call it a guitar. I've got my guitar out, and we're just having a good time hanging out. I promise this is going somewhere, by the way. We're having this picnic, just kind of minding our own business, and we start to hear this rumbling sound. We're looking around, kind of, "You hear that too?" "Yeah, I hear that." "You hear that too?" We hear this rumbling sound, and it's kind of distant, and it's growing, and it gets louder and louder, and we're trying to figure out what this rumbling sound is. We're at the park. We're at this beautiful park. It's full of ancient trees. These trees are massive. And I turn around, and there's a branch off of this massive, massive tree, as tall as a tower. This branch is as big as just a normal-sized tree, right? This branch is falling off this tree, and that's what this rumbling sound is making. This branch is going to kill us. And so for about 5 seconds, I was the fastest man on the planet. I was out of there. I grabbed my guitar. My Chick-fil-A was crushed, as well as my picnic blanket and my guitar case. I was out of there. And after everything settled and kind of everyone gathered around, we walked back over to that branch, and we looked at that branch and saw where it had disconnected from the tree. And we look at this big tree, this huge, beautiful tree. It looks big and healthy. We look at this branch, and it's completely hollow inside. I mean, this is a branch probably about this big. That's how big the branch is, around. And it's completely hollowed out inside. And you know what I learned that day? Well, first of all, I learned that picnics are terrifying. But I learned that it's possible for a Christian to appear mature and healthy when, in reality, they are hollow and empty inside. Listen, there are some messed up, twisted people out there who really look the part. Don't compare yourself to them. Don't measure yourself by their standard. You've been called to a higher standard of living. You have a holy and perfect example, that is the Word of God. Now, don't get me wrong, I want you to study with people. Your brothers and sisters in Christ can be one of your greatest resources for spiritual growth. Everyone in this room, if you think about it, everyone in this room knows something that you don't. But when you study for people, you study with people, I want you to listen. Listen for the source of their answer. Is the source their parents? Are they saying, "Well, I do this because my dad did it or my grandpa did it"? Is the source their friends? "I do this because my friends would judge me if I didn't, so I do this." Is their source of their answer some preacher or some elder? Or is it the Word of God? Is their source of their answer a holy and perfect source? That's what I want you to find out. That's what I want you to listen for when you study with someone, because that's where I want you to build your faith. That's how I want you to measure your spiritual growth, and that's how God wants you to measure it too. That's all I have for you this evening. Kind of kept it short. Let's grow spiritually together. Thank you.